Good morning. Welcome, everyone, to Calvin Christian Reformed Church. We're glad that you're here to worship our God with us. This morning, as we get started, I've got a few announcements to make, so hopefully we can keep track of what's coming up together. Later today, there's going to be some caroling. The meeting for caroling is going to be here at 2:45, and then there's going to be some traveling around to various care centers. All that information is in the bulletin, but the important thing is to meet here at 2:45 for caroling, and then also we're going to be back here at 5:45 for supper. And so even if you're not able to join us for caroling, you may still come and join for supper. So one more time, caroling starts 2:45, meet here, and then supper 5:45, that's also here. All the information is in the bulletin. Then, looking forward a little bit, the council is going to meet tomorrow at 6:30. So just so everybody's aware, council meeting is tomorrow at 6:30. And then finally, looking further ahead this week, our Christmas Eve service is obviously on Christmas Eve. That's Friday this year. So Friday at 5 p.m., we'll gather for our Christmas Eve service. So once again, we hope that we can see you Friday at 5 p.m., and we'll celebrate our Lord's birth together. I think that's all I've got for announcements. Hopefully we've got that all straight. As we begin our time of worship again this morning, we're going to have our Advent reading and candle lighting. So I'll turn things over to John Van Hill.
To us, the child is born. To us, the son is given. That the government will be on our shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, we light these candles as a sign of our waiting hope for the coming.
Let's join together in the reading for our call to worship. So I invite you to rise in body or in spirit, and let's join together in the reading. You can find it in your bulletins or follow along up on the screen. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. We rejoice in the hope of Christ's coming. Let us worship God. So let's join together in singing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Our God greets us this morning, saying, "Grace and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Savior." Amen. God has greeted us. Let's take a moment to greet one another. Since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let's go to God together in a prayer of confession. Lord God, we want to be close to you, to experience your love, to find meaning for our lives. But we confess that so often we do not truly seek you. Forgive us for trying to do things our way instead of your way. Forgive us for being unwilling to honestly search our hearts and face our sins. Forgive us for not loving you above all else and for not loving our neighbors as ourselves. We need a Savior. Thank you for sending us Jesus, your Son. Forgive us according to your tender mercies. Help us be ready for his return. Grant us a fresh sense of your presence and a renewed resolve to live to the praise of Christ's glory. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. We cry out to you on behalf of all those who have had to flee from their homes. How long must your people suffer the destruction and devastation of war and violence? Why must oppressive governments and brutal cartels deprive those you care for of safety? Look with mercy upon those who endure persecution, those who seek to escape the carnage of natural disasters, those who do not have a place or a nation to call home. Be their rock of refuge to which they can always go. Bring them to a place where they can settle. We pray in the name of Jesus, who fled from the threats of Herod. Amen. Brothers and sisters, hear the good news. God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Know that in Christ Jesus, God forgives us and makes us new. Thanks be to God. And so, Jesus now calls us to live for him. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that on all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power, forever and ever. Amen. Let's join together in singing praises to God once more. We'll sing "In Christ Alone," and please rise in body or in spirit as we sing. As we gather together for worship, we're grateful that we worship a God who cares about the things that are going on in our daily lives, that we don't just have to leave behind the concerns we've had throughout the past week or the worries that we may have about the coming week, but that we can bring everything on our hearts and minds before God in prayer. So let's join together in a time of prayer. God of the future, you are coming in power to bring all nations and all peoples under the rule of your lordship through Jesus Christ. We know about, believe in, and hope for that future coming of the kingdom because we know about, believe in, and draw hope from Jesus' first coming in Bethlehem. Help us to be expectant people. Bend our thoughts and aspirations beyond the moment, beyond what we can see in front of us at any given time. We want to do our daily tasks well and to your glory right now, but help us to be people who also look ahead, who peer around various cosmic corners, and who know that the ultimate things of existence in this universe are the things that have been secured for us through Jesus, and that are real already now in the kingdom he has established. In Advent, we sing about having open hearts for you to enter in. May we, by the grace of your Spirit, be open indeed, Father. Make us open to the ways your kingdom can influence our decision-making at work, at school, and at home. Make us open toward others, enabling us to see Jesus in our midst, in each and every person we meet. Make us open to opportunities to serve others, to serve your whole creation out of devotion to you and to your Son, who showed us what true service is all about when he came down into a virgin's womb to salvage the universe you fashioned in the beginning. As your people, we pray this morning for our needy world. We live in a world of war and rumors of war, a world of violence and terrorism that strikes the unsuspecting. God, our world is a world of hurt and pain. We think especially of those who suffered damage with the storms that came through our area this week, and those who suffered even worse damage, and even those who lost loved ones with the terrible storms in Kentucky and other states the week before. It is easy, God, for us to see why this world needs saving. But sometimes it's not so easy to believe that in Christ it has already been saved. Beyond the glitter and goodwill and cozy warmth of the Christmas season, Father, help us as Christians to find in Jesus' birth long ago a true reason for hope in this present moment. And then lead us to be workers for peace, bearers of shalom, agents of healing in this world gone mad. Here in this place, you see our needs and hurts during this holiday season. Stand close to anyone here this morning who is struggling. Be with the students who are worried about exams. Be with the sons and daughters who fret about various issues that may crop up when they travel home for Christmas. Be with the parents who have real cause for alarm over the course of a child's life. Lift the clouds of depression from those who wrestle so mightily with their emotions. Minister to those who have chronic pain and give them some relief, we pray. Lead into a better time those who are unemployed right now, those who are worried about family finances, those who wonder what the new year may hold. Grant that the coming weeks and months will hold new and good and wonderful things for those seeking a meaningful outlet for the gifts you have given to them. You alone see us as we are, Lord God, and so we beg for you to nurture us according to our needs, to minister to us according to our hurts, to heal us in all those places where you see that we are broken or sick. No matter what happens in our lives, or whatever is going on at this moment in our individual hearts and minds, we adore you, God of wonder and God of glory. We worship you. We lay our hearts open before you. As we come to you, come to us also by your Holy Spirit. May Jesus, your Son, cast out our sin and enter in and be born in us today, so that we may spread the increase of your peace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time in our worship service, we have the opportunity to give back to God with the giving of our offerings in support of the ministry of our church. And as we receive our offerings, we'll also have some special music, King of Kings.
Forever to the of Kings.
In this season of Advent, we think about God's people waiting long ago for the coming of Jesus, our Savior, the Messiah. We also think about our own waiting for Jesus to return, waiting for Christ to bring healing and restoration to our broken world, waiting for him to set all things right. So over the past few weeks, we've been looking at some psalms of lament, psalms that cry out for God to bring help, to bring healing, to bring restoration, psalms that give us words to pray in the darkest times of our lives. When everything seems to be falling apart, God invites us to come to him, to lay ourselves before him, because he cares about all the details of our lives, and he cares about our heartache and our pain. So this week, together, we're going to look at Psalm 142, and we're going to hear how God cares for us and how God gives us hope, even in the midst of our sorrows. Now, before we read God's word together, let's join in a moment of prayer. Emmanuel, as we wait for your return, help us see your glory and love through the reading and preaching of your word. We pray in your name. Amen. So our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 142. We're going to read the entire psalm. It's pretty short. You can follow along up on the screen, or if you want to follow along in your own Bibles, that's good too. And we will read all of Psalm 142. Hear the word of the Lord. A maskil of David, when he was in the cave, a prayer. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him, I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who watch over my way. In the path where I walk, people have hidden a snare for me. Look and see, there is no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me, because of your goodness to me. This is the word of the Lord. David is running for his life with King Saul and his troops in hot pursuit. No place seems to be truly safe for David. After God rejected Saul because of Saul's sinful disobedience to God, God chose David to be the next king. And the Lord began to bless David, giving him incredible success as a warrior and a military leader. But as David gained popularity and influence, Saul became increasingly envious and paranoid. So David went on the run. By now, he's losing track of how many different places he spent the night, how many days he's been a fugitive. Saul just won't quit. On a few different occasions, David has set up camp in a new area, only for the local people to go and report to Saul, forcing David to run once more. Exhausted and disheartened, David finds a cave where he can rest and hide for just a little while. Psalm 142 is a pretty short but intense prayer for help from a person looking to God for refuge when there is no other refuge. This is a prayer of complete dependence on the Lord. Unless he comes to the rescue, there is no hope. But the Lord is a God who cares for his people, even when no one else seems to care. Psalm 142 is linked with David's time as a fugitive, which is recorded in the book of 1 Samuel. Envisioning David on the run can help us better connect with the words of this prayer. In the darkness of the cave, David begins to pray out loud, pouring out his heart to God. Lord, I cry to you for help. You can hear the pain in my voice. Fleeing for my life has strained me to my breaking point. Look at the trouble I'm in. My enemies have hidden a trap on the path ahead of me. No matter where I go, Saul comes after me. I have no safe place. My hope of refuge has died off. It won't be long, Lord, before the trap closes around me. Saul is right behind me, leading a whole squad of well-equipped and well-fed soldiers. They're too strong for me. I need you to rescue me. Set me free from my prison, for these dangers are holding me captive. I can't relax. I have no freedom to go where I please. Pay attention to me, Lord. Show me your grace, for my situation is desperate. See for yourself. No one is coming to stand by my side to help me. No one else cares whether I live or die. But the Lord cares for David. And so God gives David security and hope. Again and again, David expresses the confidence that he has because of God. Lord, I know that you care about me. When I'm losing hope, when my strength is running out, you yourself are watching over me. You know exactly what I'm going through, every step that I take. And you know the path through my troubles to freedom. That's why I cry out to you. I pour myself out before you, voicing all my concerns and emotions, because I know that you are listening. And I know that you are a God who acts. My enemies may be too strong for me, but they are not too strong for you. Indeed, you are too strong for them. Lord, even when I have no refuge in this world, you are my refuge. You can protect me from any danger. Your faithful love for me never fails. You are my portion, my inheritance. Having a plot of family land gives people a place and hope for the future. And in a similar and even deeper way, belonging to you gives me security, Lord. For you are the one who provides and upholds life. I'm sure you'll deliver me. So I promise to praise you, Lord. Your people will gather all around me to hear the story of your love, to rejoice in your goodness. God cares for David. God's loving care makes David bold and insistent, urgently telling God exactly how he feels, holding nothing back, praying and praying until he gets help. This freedom is a remarkable gift from the Lord. We humans learn pretty quickly to just shut up if nobody's listening. Even babies will stop crying after repeatedly suffering neglect for long enough. But David and all of God's people never have to stop crying out to God because he's always listening, because he always cares. Now, if you remember the stories of David as a fugitive, you might remember that when David prays that no one cares, he's not literally all by himself. He does have a group of men that are with him. But I don't think that means at all that David's prayer is insincere. For one thing, he probably does feel alone when even bystanders are going out of the way to rat him out to Saul. And for another thing, I think that David's prayer that no one cares, that he has no refuge, reflects the reality. His band of men is no match for Saul's army. Even if David maybe exaggerates a little bit, he's doing so to sincerely express how he feels, highlighting the trouble, the great trouble that David is in, serves to highlight the incredible gift of hope that God has given him. Even though enemies are closing in, even though things look terribly bleak, David is still alive. And for him, that means there's still hope that God can rescue him. David believes that no situation is ever too desperate for the Lord. From an outside perspective, it might seem that David has nowhere to turn. But God is all the help that David needs. God is his refuge. Even though the Lord can't be seen, he's watching out for David. God keeps David going because God cares. At times, we too can feel like no one cares about our troubles. In Nigeria, Naomi endured intense suffering. In 2014, members of Boko Haram, the militant Islamist organization, attacked Naomi's town of Gwoza without warning. Naomi was outside of town working on her farmland when she heard gunfire back in town. Worried about her children's safety, she raced home, only to be caught by armed men, demanding to know where Christians lived, threatening to kill those who would not renounce Jesus. Thankfully, Naomi received just a bit of mercy by pleading that she was a widow with children. Let go, she found her kids, and she raced off to the mountains. Her kids and other children who escaped slept in caves while the adults guarded the entrances. The group was haunted by the sound of gunfire, by the images of the bodies that they'd run past. They managed to survive for a while by going out and searching for edible leaves. After days had gone by, Naomi and the others thought they could safely return home. But rather than finding support from their Muslim neighbors, they found that their fellow community members had taken the terrorists in. They had to flee once more. For 2 years, Naomi and her children lived in the mountains, feeling like they had no place to go for safety or assistance. Naomi worried that she was alone, that there was no one who cared about the trouble that she and the others were in. Now, Naomi's story might not seem very relatable to us here today, but I think it is important for us to remember the suffering faced by our fellow Christians who are persecuted. Sadly, Psalm 142's language of running from enemies still applies very directly to some of God's people today. We can pray these words alongside our brothers and sisters. But even if our suffering is different, Psalm 142 applies to us too. This isn't about comparing other people's troubles to see who's got it worse. We believe that God cares too about what we're going through. And there are all sorts of burdens and struggles that can leave us feeling overwhelmed. Like no one cares about us. No matter how serious somebody else might think our difficulties are, our difficult circumstances can increase our fear, our worry, our sense of isolation, seeming like it's all too much for us. A middle school boy who's constantly picked on for being a slow learner feels alone. A young woman who's battling with anorexia worries that no one understands or cares about her. A family facing eviction doesn't know where they can turn for shelter. A single man in the hospital with severe abdominal pain, or a woman suffering another beating at the hands of her angry boyfriend, figure that no one is concerned about their misery. Many times we feel the need to cover up heartache or grief or loneliness because we think that no one is paying attention. We often try to ignore the sting of false accusations or bottle up our worries or downplay the stress of a conflict because we think that no one cares. But God cares about us. God always cares about his people. God's care gave hope to Naomi as she and her children hid in the mountains. Again and again, Naomi turned to God in prayer. "I had only God," she says, "and I talked to him. He gave me the strength that I needed." God provided Naomi with assurance that he was with her and her family. God gave her the hope that he could lead her through all of her dangers and worries. Eventually, Naomi and the others decided to flee to a refugee camp in neighboring Cameroon. As they escaped, God kept them safe once more from Boko Haram's bullets and bombs. God sustained Naomi and her children through a couple of difficult months in this crowded camp. And then he provided them with an opportunity to return back to Nigeria to a safe camp for internally displaced people. Eventually, the opportunity to stay there went away. And once again, Naomi says, "I did not know where to go, so I cried out to God." And God proved his care for Naomi once again by taking action on her behalf. God sent some workers who were part of Voice of the Martyrs, who helped Naomi's children get established in a good school, who assisted the family with finding a house of their own at last in a new, safe community. God was a refuge for Naomi when she had no other refuge. She says, "God has kept me." God cares about Naomi, and he has acted to help her. Christ Jesus, God the Son himself, has proven just how much God cares for his people. When God the Son took on our human nature and then was born on that first Christmas, he entered into our world and shared our troubles. Jesus understands by experience the whole range of struggles and sorrows we face. And Christ does something about our hardships. In his ministry, he addressed our biggest problem, our sins that separate us from God and lead toward eternal death. And Jesus also cared for people in all sorts of situations, from hunger after a long day, to being treated like outcasts, to losing an only son. Jesus' first coming, from birth through death and resurrection to ascension, was all about rescuing his people from sin and all the misery and hardships that come with it, because he cares for us. When God calls and leads us to salvation by believing in Jesus, he assures us that he cares about every detail of our lives. He invites us to bring our whole selves to him, all our concerns in open and honest prayer, because he is always listening to his people. Often we find that God works through our prayers. He sends his Holy Spirit to each and every Christian. The Spirit is at work, praying alongside us, strengthening our faith and trust, using even the act of prayer itself to connect us to God in the midst of our troubles. The Spirit's presence with us reminds us that God is greater than anything that we might face. We may not think that our struggles rise to the level that Naomi's did, but if God can handle Naomi's struggles, he can handle ours too. Many times God shows his care by acting to help us through or deliver us from our struggles, providing shelter for abuse survivors, healing the sick, sending a friend to someone who feels like an outcast, bringing a quiet season after a period of intense stress. But even when we don't see God acting right away, Jesus' resurrection triumph over sin and death proves God's care, gives us hope. Christ promises that he will fulfill our deepest longings, that he will answer his people's prayers for good when he comes again. Jesus will destroy death and evil and take all who belong to him into eternal life in his perfect kingdom. Brothers and sisters, God hears his people's cries for help. He gives us hope in the midst of our troubles because he has saved us and we belong to him. God cares for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's join together in prayer. God, our refuge, thank you for always caring for your people, for giving us security, even when no one else cares about us. Even in the face of our most difficult times, fill us with hope, for no situation is ever too desperate for you. Thank you for sending your Son to live as one of us and rescue us from sin and death and all their effects. Strengthen our faith and turn us to you. Hear our cries for help and come quickly, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Having heard God's word, let's respond together in faith, proclaiming what we believe using the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 28. I'll read the question. Let's join together in reading the answer. How does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? We can be patient when things go against us. thankful when things go well. And for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father, that nothing in creation will separate us from His love. For all creatures are so completely in God's hand that without His will, they can neither move nor be. At this point, I invite our children to come forward for our children's message. So if you kids want to join me up front, we'll talk for a little bit. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. So for a while now, probably like 2 or 3 months, we've been talking about all the different things we do in church, trying to talk about why we do these things and what they mean. And there's one thing that we do pretty often that we haven't talked about because we don't do it every single week, and that's communion. We're going to have communion later today. So what do you guys remember about communion? What do we do when we have communion? We drink and eat. We eat what? What do we have sitting out there? What is this thing right here? It's a loaf of bread. That's right. And then we drink something. You can't see it because it's inside the pitcher. But it's juice, it's grape juice, or some churches use wine. Now, we use this bread and this juice to remind us of something really special. Do you guys have any idea what that is? About God, yeah. So we think about the bread, and that reminds us of Jesus' body. And we think about the juice, and that reminds us of Jesus' blood. So the bread and the juice remind us of Jesus when he died for us. And so when we take communion, it's a reminder that God loves us and that God has saved us, that Jesus came to forgive all our sins, all the things we do wrong. A communion means a whole lot of other things too. I just want to talk about one other thing. Why do we eat and drink? Why do you guys eat lunch? You know? Because we need food. If we didn't eat, we'd get sick and we'd die. And so when we have this food and this drink, it's also a reminder for us that God takes care of us, that God cares about the things we need for our bodies, and he cares about the things that we need for our spirits too. So when we take communion, God shows us, he gives us something to remind us that he loves us and he saved us. And something that we can taste and touch and feel and smell to help us remember that he takes care of us and he gives us the things we need. So we'll remember those things together as we have communion. Thanks for coming forward, guys. You can go back to your seats. So as we celebrate communion together, if you'd like, you can follow along with the liturgy, the words up on the screen, and we'll prepare for our celebration. Brothers and sisters, welcome to the feast of the Lord, where Christ Jesus, our Savior, invites us to receive the benefits and blessings of his atoning death, his life-giving resurrection, and his exalted reign. At the Lord's Supper, we look back, remembering the whole story of our salvation. We look around, seeing that we are together members of the body of Christ. We look forward to the great banquet in God's coming kingdom. And we look up to our ascended Lord, who promises to feed us with his body and blood by the Holy Spirit. The Lord has prepared his table for all who love him and trust in him alone for their salvation. All who are truly sorry for their sins, who sincerely believe in Christ Jesus as their Savior, and who desire to live in obedience to Him as Lord, are now invited to come with gladness to the table of the Lord. People of God, lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right for us to give thanks and praise. With joy, we praise you, gracious Father, for you have created heaven and earth, made us in your image, and kept covenant with us, even when we fell into sin. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ our Lord, whose coming opened to us the way of salvation, and whose triumphant return we eagerly await. Therefore, we join our voices with all the saints and angels and the whole creation to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. You sent him into this world to satisfy the longings of your people for a Savior, to bring freedom to captives of sin, and to establish justice for the oppressed. He came among us as one of us, taking the lot of the poor, sharing human suffering. We rejoice in his death and rising again. You set before us the sure promise of new life, the certain hope of a heavenly home, where we will sit at the table with Christ, our host. We give thanks to God the Father that our Savior Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial of his sacrifice until he comes again. At his last supper, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, we proclaim our faith as signed and sealed in this sacrament. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let's join together in this prayer. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. So a little bit of explanation as we prepare to partake of communion together. As I said at the beginning, communion is for those who are truly sorry for their sins, who believe in Jesus as their Savior, and who desire to live in obedience to him as Lord. If that's you, even if you are a member of a different church, we invite you to join in celebrating this sacrament with us. If that's not you, if you don't believe that, if you're not a member of a church, we ask you just to let the trays pass you by. Take the time as an opportunity to reflect on the work of Jesus that we just talked about. We're going to pass the trays of bread down the pews, and then once everybody has bread, we'll all eat together. And then similarly, we'll pass the trays with the cups of juice. Once everybody has juice, we'll all drink together While the elements are being passed out, we'll have some time to do some singing as well. We come now, for all is ready. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. People of God, let's take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all our sins.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, take, drink, remember, and believe that the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Let's join together in prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food and the sacrament of his body and blood. Strengthen us, O God, in the power of your Spirit, to bring good news to the poor and spread your blessing to all peoples. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, please rise in body or in spirit. We have been gathered by our God, we have heard from his word, we have been fed at his table, and now Jesus sends us forth once more to follow him. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. And know that as we go with God's blessing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.